Horror Stories Podcast. Hello, everybody. This is Lawrence Simon of the 100 Word Stories Podcast at podcasting.isfullofcrap.com. Normally, you're going to hear one of my stories on this feed, but it's Sunday, and time for the weekly challenge. That's where I post a topic, and then you send in a story based on that topic. Then I gather them all up in this editing program, ramble a bit in between, peek under the couch and make sure Bruin is okay. He's fine. And then post the resulting catastrophe for your enjoyment and pleasure. This is Weekly Challenge 229, and the topic is books. We've got a cool batch of stories this week, and I'm recording this, actually, in the den, because the living room has a rather tired and battered cat under the sofa, and a rather tired wife who hasn't been battered, sleeping next to a cage with an open door, because, oh, I don't want him to feel all lonely. Oh, fine, then he'll crawl under the sofa where it's icky. There's no teaching them. Cats, that is. All right, well, let's see who comes up first here. Man, this is going to be one fun few months, making sure that he's okay. He'll probably be, well, he's walking around, sort of, with difficulty. He's got some little bit of damage to his hip, and his feet have some stuff that we've got to watch over. But the worst part of it is the medicine. You know how vets and doctors always screw up when it comes to medicine? You know, like, they'll give you horse pills for a baby. This time it was like, oh, these are easy. You just squirt them in and they go in. Unless they foam up. Man, what do they do? Do they, like, you know, have an entire semester of practical jokes? Anyway, at least he's okay, and they, whatever, we could see his insides. First up, for the stories, free read. So here we go with free read. Welcome back, and here's your story.
Double Books, 1986. Hide that the company was siphoning off funds to pay for the boss's girlfriend and illegitimate son. Hide the tens of thousands going to the fair-haired brother's cocaine habit. 1990. Finance holidays for the homophobic Marian brother and his ex-cop boyfriend. That came from the Mother Teresa Fund. Triple Books, 2004. The Sisters Foundation owing £27,000 end of year. I stood apoplectic in the office. Who's going to pay this bill? The Blessed Mother? Sister Agnes smiled. The money appeared in a check Christmas Eve morning signed by the alcoholic gambling addict passed out in the kitchen.
Thank you, Free Read. That sounds like the plot of Sister Act 3. My, woo. Let's see. Next up is our friend Zach Mann. He actually has two stories this week. He forgot to send in the audio, but I said, hey, do you mean to send in the audio? And he's like, oh, yeah, okay. So there you go. I actually had time to check things over before doing all this. Usually I'm pretty bad and just wait till the last minute, but I was trying to keep my mind occupied last night. His little guy was having a bad day. He's still having a bad day, but at least he's going to be better. So, here is Zach Mann in his two stories.
Are you tired of people telling you about well-written books you must read? Since Stephen King's On Writing recommends you should read well-written books but also poorly written books, I recommend Moon People by Dale M. Courtney. At least read the first page. Maybe only read the first page. This is a book better to own than to read. I love loaning people my copy to see the look on their face like that of a toddler eating a lemon wedge. I know only one other person who finished reading Moon People. Best of all, there are sequels.
Okay, and one more. And this is more of a poem. So here we go as November comes closer.
I'm a NaNoWriMo failure, and I really need some help. I'm in love with books and writing, but I can't write myself. I've tried listening to I Should Be Writing, Irreverent Muse, Litopia, and DRS, but how to write past chapter 2 is something I can't guess. I've tried reading the classics right before bed. I can't concentrate on them, so I'm still not well read. I'm a NaNoWriMo failure, and I really need some help. Almost November, quitting might be a sin. Soon will be November, and time to try again.
Well, thank you, Zach, man. And remember, folks, when NaNoWriMo comes around, yeah, things are going to be a little quiet around here as people try to get in their hundreds and hundreds of words a day. But remember, if you're hitting a brick wall, try the 100 Word Stories Weekly Challenge. See if it wakes you up. See if it gets you going. So next up, let's see who's here. And the wife just woke up, and where do you go? And it's like, he's under the sofa. Oh, okay. Off the bed and sweep off Nardo's butt crumbs. Nardo sleeps on her pillow when she's not there, and then he cleans his feet. So next up is Tom. He has returned to us, and let's see what he's got.
Hello, night people. Tom here with some challenge updates. We are averaging 10.61 stories per week. 242 authors have posted. 116 tried it once and ran off screaming into the night. Currently, there are 2,438 stories in the archive. Of the top 10 contributors, 7 have written over 100 stories. Norval Joe, 101. Anima Zebaleta, 105. Justin the Space Turtle, 112. Guy David, 138. Tom, 150. And Planet Z, 225. Caleb is 7 shy of 100, while Liana is 10 shy. TJ has an impressive 60 stories, well on the way to the Golden Monkey status. Tonight's story is called By the Book. Here is the books. No, calmly said Ernesto. Here are the books. R, no, A-R-E. Ever. That's whatever. This sucks. Why can't I just fram the skein? Maria flicked a forefinger across the desk. A cloud of electrons pulled rigidly into a glowing square. Tiny animated glyphs danced in a row. Better, said Maria. If you're going to be a scholar, you have to master non-Ana alphas. Maria raised a finger. At least that usage hadn't changed in 600 years. The book said Maria was the one who would keep the language alive. Cervantes had his doubts.
Ooh, a little forward history there. Thank you, Tom, and thank you for the update. It's always cool looking back and seeing who's done what and who ran off screaming into the night. I should do something about that Golden Monkey status. What do you think a prize should be for the Golden Monkey? I should give out Golden Monkeys. Anyway, if anyone sees any stuffed golden monkeys on Amazon, that would be kind of cool. Or, I'm not going to make them out of solid gold. I mean, you should have seen the bill for Bruin's vet visit. Oh, man. Plus the cage. And a new collar, too. That's the hardest part. Although, the logic of putting a black and white collar on a black cat who likes to go out at night is not smart. He's going to get a bright blue collar. It's going to be bluing. Okay, next up is Steven the Nuclear Man. He is back. And he has something special for us. Ooh, it might be pie. Ooh, pie. Yummy pie. I had pie last week. Went to the House of Pies with the missus. And after getting the recordings and walkings done. Last week, 205, I peaked at 201. After a long walk. I was almost there. This past week, you don't want to know. But the good thing is, I haven't gained any. So, 205, 205. When I get serious again, I'll make the push. But It's a long struggle, and it's been a long time, and I know that I've made lots of ground. I just need to keep going at some point. But right now, you know, if out of habit, you know, usually I don't eat before I go on my walk. I drink something and then go for a long hike. I had yogurt and some toast for breakfast and some iced tea here before getting this done. So my schedule's a little off. But can you blame me? Little guy still under the sofa. He's a good little boy. He's just sad, that's all, and he's in pain. The other cats are leaving him alone, by the way. They're being good to him. Little baby isn't crawling up against him. Otherwise, she'd probably end up getting her head chewed off. But let's go ahead and get Stephen going. So, Stephen, let's hear your story.
I'd like to dedicate this week's drabble to my grandfather, who passed away last weekend. So you've had some stories published. I hate the old quavering sound of my voice. Yes, Grandpa. I still think of him as the boy, though he's older than me when I'd married Martha. He's holding his book behind his back. I've got a chapbook of short stories. Oh, I say, and nod. Good job. Can I read them? They're not really your speed. I see the knife and blood on the cover. Thanks, though, Gotta go, Grandpa. I shake my head as he leaves, and try to decide between the Poppy Z. Bright novel or the Clive Barker one. The music, of course, is from Nine Inch Nails' Ghost album. Rest in peace, Grandpa. Even though you really wouldn't have liked these stories.
Thank you, Stephen. And I'm pretty sure my grandfathers wouldn't like my stories either. They pretty much didn't like anything I did. But these kind of things... Sorry to hear about that, man. Well, now that we're on a sad note, let's head up to North Dakota, where everything is sad. They confiscate happiness at the borders so that they can have private basement tornado shelter happiness parties without you. Here's TJ. I think he recorded this at a happiness party. We'll find out.
Hi, this is TJ. This weekend I am appearing on stage as Sir Winston Churchill, and this is book burning. Book burnings were almost quaint by the 2030s. Most books were e-books by then, and no one wanted to burn their otherwise appropriately named Kindles. People would gather in circles and download a Bible or a Quran, or Dianetics, or Ray Bradbury's Fahrenheit 451, and then, with a flourish, the payment still processing in some cases, they would delete the book, followed by awkward reassurances that they're sure they wish to delete the book. This proved disappointing somehow, so at the same time, they also burned the books in question in effigy. Naturally, whatever the book, Amazon made a killing.
Thank you, TJ. I wonder what things are going to be like when everything is e-reader, e-book. You can't burn books. What will you end up burning? Oh, right. Churches and mosques and synagogues. And probably a lot of joints. Schedule the protest for 420. Speaking of scheduling the protest for 420, Almo has returned. Let's see what he's got for us. We miss him, don't we? Well, he's back, and he brought Tom with him, and he brought cookies and muffins. Okay, how many of you people last week actually went out and got a muffin after you heard that? All those stories about muffins. I didn't. I could have gotten a muffin at House of Pies. I got pie. It was not a muffin pie. So here we go with Alma.
The last rays of the sun bounced off the wrecked cars, the burnt-out buildings, the flecks of falling snow. Gilbert bent into the bitter wind and walked. He spotted a building with a light in the window. Warmth. He was pleased to discover a library. He moved among the shelves and picked out several books. A thin Hemingway, a legal tome, Birds of North America. He cuddled in one of the overstuffed chairs. Then Gilbert carefully arranged the books near his feet on the marble floor. He lit them and rubbed his hands in the glow of the burning fire.
Thank you, Almo. That was pretty deep and scary. Maybe one day we'll all be forced to do that. It would be nice for it to snow here, though. I like it when it snows, but just briefly. Next up is Norval Joe. Norval Joe has something for us. I wonder what it is. It could be a story. Of course it's a story. It's not like anyone comes in here with a plate full of hummus or anything. I mean, come on. It's always a story. What do you expect? I get you all worked up and you're thinking, ooh, this could be a new robot monster that he's built in his basement. I don't have a basement. No, it's a story. It's a story. Here's Norval Joe's story.
Hello, this is Philip Norval Joe Carroll of the Flying Island Press, and this is the weekly challenge number 229 with a prompt of books. Speaking of books, actually it's a magazine, come by the Flying Island Press, flyinglandpress.com, and check out our second issue of our flagship magazine. We've got 7 good stories, one by a member of my local writers meetup group that I thought was pretty good. It's called Bringers of the Dead Meet and Greet. I get to read it. It was a lot of fun. Come by Amazon if you can and purchase it on Amazon for us. It's $2.99 on Amazon and we'll give you the audio free if you purchase it there. Just send us a copy of your receipt and we'll send you a link for the audio. We'd love to get a review from somebody on Amazon. That'd sure help us out. So if you have it in your heart, in your wallet, in your soul, come by, help us out. Well, here's my story. Jake Rand from 6th period English, his notebooks tucked under his arm. Science was on the other side of the school. He rounded a corner to a narrow hallway, straight into Mark. Mark laughed and pushed him back. Silently, Doug had slipped behind Jake and slapped the books out of his grip. They splattered to the ground, loose pages scattering. At the end of the hall, Janice appeared. "Do it, Jake," she said. Tears of embarrassment burned Jake's eyes as he gathered his notes. "Do it, Jake," Mark mimicked. "Okay," Jake whispered. "Pest, be gone." In a flash, Mark disappeared. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
Ooh, you can make people disappear. Well, that's so cool. Now we know what happened to all the other people that Tom had counted up that tried once and then ran off. They didn't run off. They were disappeared by Jake. Oh, thank you for that information, Norval Joe. Now we know. And it's not a magic wand. It's a magic harmonica that he uses. They're disappeared. Next up is Justin Lowmaster. You may know him as the Space Turtle, but me, I know him as Grandmaster Quan. I'm not sure why he's never mentioned that name to me, and he doesn't have an unusual mustache or the ability to rip people's hearts out and show them to the people before they die. I'm not sure Grandmaster Quan would want to do that. It's like, here, let me show you what I can do. Okay. All right, now, what are you doing down there? Will you get up? So here's Justin, a.k.a. Grandmaster Quan, and his story.
In my hands is the last paper book. All paper and trees are gone. Giant air cyclers dot the landscape, converting CO2 into oxygen, along with the ocean plants. The cyclers were built when the trees died. The trees died when an overzealous e-book reader manufacturer released nanobots into the world to destroy the paper books. Ironically, he did it to save the trees. But of course, something went wrong. The nanobots were eventually destroyed. I tear a page from the book and wipe. They've made a substitute for trees, but they've yet to make a good toilet paper replacement.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Justin. I needed that laugh. You know, I don't think Bruin has used the litter box yet or taken a poop. Maybe he has. I don't know. But he's in for a rough few days. He'll get his strength back and his hips will feel much better. Little hairline fracture here and all that, but that'll heal up. And he's not in danger. And he's still semi-mobile if he wants to. He's not happy about it, but he'll get better. And man, what a tough little cat. Wherever he got hit, he crawled from there. So, and his front claws are a mess, you know, all splayed and all that, and frayed. He got himself a good distance. But he's going to be okay. So, I'll be back to recording with him up by my hip in a few weeks, I suppose. But until then, I'm just going to let him be. And squirt foaming pain meds in his mouth. What the hell was the vet thinking? Anyway, we have one more story this week, and then it'll be time to wrap up. And, of course, that's by Planet Z.
I have no idea how some of these celebrity chefs make ends meet. I mean, there's several that have endorsement deals in the millions, but the B-listers look like they're bright in the spotlight, but their restaurants aren't filling tables anymore. After a wide undercover investigation, we found the reason why. They cheated. Cheap ingredients, tax dodges, paying illegal aliens to work in the kitchens. Now, there's a new show on the Food Network about bad accounting practices in the restaurant business called Cooking the Books. These B-lister criminal chefs all agreed to star in it. Fame's such a bitch.
And there you have it, a bunch of stories about books. Thank you to everyone who sent in stories this week, and all those of you who are listening, thank you too. It's always a delight to have you here. Hopefully it'll be under better circumstances as the weeks progress. But as we know, I sit at the table, I used to have a little burble kitty by me, used to have a big grumpus yelling at me while doing this, and a puffball poking me in the back, and, you know, as time goes, things change. New faces arrive, and furry faces depart. Little guy's gonna be okay. He's got a long life ahead of him, even if he's gonna be limping for some of it. I want to read you a story that I wrote while waiting for him to come home. Bruin didn't come home last night. Usually, he's the first to come home, but Mist came home first. Finding a black cat at night is impossible, of course, but you can't just sit down and wait. Walking around, I hear what I think is his collar, but it's just crickets and frogs. So I come back home. Mist and Nardo wait up with me. If he can't come home for whatever reason, I hope he knows he's loved and missed. And if he doesn't want to come home, well, cats are cats, and I hope he's happy wherever he is. Well, he did come home. And we're happy for that. Even though he's not going to feel like it for a while. But I looked under the sofa earlier, and he looked up, and he stiffed my fingers, and then went back to pawing at the carpet for a little bit and nodding off to sleep again. So at least he's getting some rest. And some good drugs, even if they do foam up in his mouth. Be sure to check out the website at podcasting.isfullofcrap.com. That's where you can see all the daily stories and all the weekly challenges. The archives, as Tom has said, of thousands and thousands of stories written by people just like you. Crazy and frightened. There's also the Drabblecast out there, where in the forums you'll find the Dribblecast, where you can put up 100-word stories that you can let other people record. Isn't that cool? I've had a few recorded by others, and I need to get off my butt and record a few of theirs. Problem is, that takes effort. Finally, be sure to vote for your favorites. That's favorites. There weren't that many votes this past week. I think y'all are busy with school, and you all have turned out to be 12-year-old girls. Well, that's okay. But all you listeners out there, I want you to feel really guilty that you haven't been voting in mass. I want to see votes that represent this audience. Because next week is Talk Like a Pirate. Talk Like a Pirate week. I mean day. I mean, well, drabble like a pirate. You get them. You know what I mean. I'll see y'all next week. Until then, thank you for listening. And thank you, Bruin, for coming home. Oh, and keep it brief. Closing.